Good morning. My name is Monica Cornetti, and I'm your host for the weekly Gamification Talk radio program. This week, my guest is Jordan Fladell, and our topic is in the realm of mobile learning. And I'm excited about this because every design project that I've been involved with, it's involving that digital transformation of mobile learning. And mobile learning, it's more than just reformatting any of your e-learning and moving it onto a mobile device. When we explore mobile learning today, I'm going to bring in some different gamification strategies that we've been looking at. And when Jordan and I connected on Twitter, I thought this is such a great topic for Gamification Talk Radio because when you're looking at design, mobile learning is so much more than just a reformatting. And Jordan's going to help us to understand how do we know what belongs where. He'll go through with us different user behaviors on mobile devices, what we should do and what our approach should be in design. And it's going to be great. I know there's going to be too much information for what we can cover in our 30 minutes. I want to jump right in. But before I do, let me tell you just a little bit more about Jordan. He's the executive vice president and co-founder of a company called M-Level. So M as in Mary, mlevel.com is the website. You can see that down below in our text. The world's first casual learning platform designed for the enterprise. Jordan brings a unique viewpoint to the learning world, as for the past 20 years, Jordan has been delivering and educating corporations on disruptive technologies, witnessing firsthand the engagement challenge that companies face today. The excitement and passion for helping companies successfully drive advancement via education is what Jordan brings to the table each and every day. And that is another reason when I was looking at the information out there that I thought, man, I need to have Jordan as a guest on the program. So thank you, Jordan, so much for taking time out of your day and being a guest on our program today. I want to jump right in and talk about behavior on mobile devices. The difference that as much as time spent and experience, help us to understand user behaviors on the different mobile devices.
Yeah, so, you know, Monica, it's a great point that I often find that when we're talking to our clients, when we talk about their learning programs, they kind of ignore the fact of there's different types of mobile devices in the first place. You know, we have smartphones, we have tablets. There are two different types of mobile devices, and I guess that third would be the hybrid, which would be that combination of like the Surface device, which would be kind of a laptop and a tablet together. And each one presents a user and the educator an opportunity because user behavior is completely different. If we think about smartphones, I always think about smartphones in 30-second to 2-minute intervals because that's what you see people with their heads down when they do. They really have a small device, a small screen size compared to a tablet, and they want short interactions. Everything on that device, generally a user operates 90% of their time in apps, not on mobile web. They're very quickly looking for short bursts of information. And then, you know, that's what their expectations are as a consumer. When we take that out to a tablet, what we'll often see is that user is probably willing to spend about 2 to 5 minutes of time and even longer and multiple interactions, whether it be on a app or mobile web. And then that third screen, finally, you have unlimited time palette. So I always think about when thinking about user behavior, we have to remember how we use these devices as we're thinking about designing and thinking about learning programs in general, because too often I often find that the person is moving away from that user experience concern and more about concern about their content versus how the user may engage into that content.
What you're saying then is when we're saying we're going to go mobile, we need to be very aware in our user design, which our user interface and the content of what we expect they're going to be using to actually engage with that information and not just to lump mobile altogether.
Right. I mean, so basically, if you think about your program and you say, hey, my goal is to enable users to use this when they're not at their desk, right? I want them to use it while they're walking the hallways, waiting to go on a sales call, sitting in line, maybe at the airport, at the security line, whatever it may be. You have to take into account that the user on the mobile device is not going to engage in the content if it's a lengthy experience if they're on their smartphone. They're generally looking for short burst pieces of content, and they're generally looking for an in-app experience, which is why they've gone to the App Store, which is why Apple and Google Play and Microsoft Store and all others have these massive amounts of downloads of applications. It's not because the user wants to have long-winded content. They expect targeted, very specific content on a small form factor in the way they want to digest it. And if we're building a learning program and we want that to be part of it, we have to not just take our content from this large purpose, large format. We have to shrink it down into bite-sized chunks so the user can digest it.
Right. How does that play out then for how they would find information. You have to include that in our joke just among, you know, my close friends and family is, you know, we're out and we're having a discussion and we say, I wonder, how does that? And, you know, we stop and we look at each other. Then invariably one of us says, wouldn't it be great if they came out with some kind of device that we could go and search and look out there on the web and see what information. And of course, at that point, one of us pulls out our smartphone to look it up, but we're specifically looking for something. So when we're talking about, like, let's say our smartphones, the information that's there, the users need to be able to find it quickly, quick little blurb. Everybody says, oh, I get it now. That's exactly more so than training on a concept.
That's exactly right. But okay. you can do there is, you know, even within your design is incorporate something similar. I was reading an article this morning about, you know, and we believe in this a little bit, is flashcards, right? So targeted topic content, right? So instead of having a knowledge management portal linked out from the mobile device via the web browser and having that person search and then having to navigate their way through, just kind of targeting it down for them, you know, kind of thinking about as simple as, you know, I think we often forget, you know, I have the privilege of still having young children and we still do flashcards.
Right.
Flashcards are a very powerful educational tool, but they're short and they're microcosms of content. It's not the entire algebra class that I'm putting into the one flashcard. It's one formula, one equation, one answer, right? So it allows my daughter who's sitting on the other side to see the question and answer it and have subject matter relevance to that piece of content. Well, that's exactly what people want on their mobile device. You want a short burst, minimal amount of content with maybe the ability to get immersive and deep link out of it if you choose to. But more than likely, you just want the basics, right? And there's ways to do that. Even in your design, to take your content and shrink it down and be willing to let go of what, you know, may be non-essential elements of that content for the learner.
Yeah, which is difficult, I think, for most instructional designers because, you know, when you're working with a subject matter expert, the subject matter expert's got this fire hose of information. You know, they insist that all of it is relevant and necessary, you know, every bit. And so then we've got to get all that knowledge from the subject matter expert, get it down into actual material that can be transferred in knowledge, and now to get it down even further. And when you said that, it reminded me that on my iPhone, I have this great little app called Tips that I just periodically just click on that, and I find out things about my iPhone that I've been using for how long now that I didn't know. And it's like, oh, how cool. And it's just exactly like that. It's a flashcard.
I think that allows you to address both the learner who doesn't want to learn and just wants the bare minimum and those who want to get immersive, right? It gives you that kind of tipping point for you to be able to engage both aspects.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so since we're talking about design, we're looking at the user interface and being able to engage our user. What are we doing out there about security, proprietary information? How are we designing to make sure content's secure?
Yeah, you've probably hit on one of the biggest concerns that every corporation has, you know, that's out there in the corporate landscape, whether not just U.S. but global. It gets bigger as you head the bigger global footprint. You know, security is a big deal, right? Today, you know, we read about breaches, we read about hacking, all this information. What you really have to do is design mobile learning in a way that allows you to have control over the experience from the end user perspective, from the content they receive. So you have to be willing to give and take, right? When you have a client or someone who has a security as a main concern, you can't use that device for anything other than a presentation tool, right? You almost have to put the content into a cloud storage system for delivery and use connectivity so there's no footprint on that device, right? So it basically prevents that user from losing that device and having that person take that proprietary content or that content that was relevant to the training session and giving it potentially to a competitor or being out there in the public marketplace, right? Imagine if you're doing a compliance training, and your content is misplaced, but it's ways to prevent, you know, teach people how to avoid issues, and that comes out in the public market, you know, that could be damaging to your business. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is you want to make sure these devices are very clean and you don't store content on them, which then brings up a level of how you secure that content into the right cloud provider, and how you do that. But using the cloud as a delivery mechanism for mobile is a very powerful tool on a security side as well as from a speed perspective and just the comfort level of knowing that content has never left the house, right? You've kind of kept it in your control as a corporation from that perspective.
When you're thinking about the content and the amount of content, when I think mobile, and this is perhaps, and you know, the thought just came to me that perhaps it's faulty thinking, and I should be looking at it more in a global, universal perspective of learning. But when I think about mobile, I think that there's just this constant freshness that has to be there, like new content every day, every hour. How do you keep your content fresh, and how do you keep people going back to it?
Well, I think mobile learning is a little different than, traditional learning in that sense. I think the users have an expectation of, constant fresh information because they're moving and they want you moving. That being said, I think, when you think about training, we can all face the fact you're not going to get someone every day to engage in training nonstop. It's not something that, is kind of core to the DNA, unfortunately, of us as all human beings out there today. So what you can do is you can deliver short burst, high value content, I call it, which is basically run programs. But run them in the very short time period so that content stays fresh and has a new look and new interface to it constantly, right? And again, mobile is probably not the best place to do immersive training, right? It's probably, if you're incorporating it's particularly smartphones. I can say tablets, you might want to be able to get immersive. You have a bigger screen size or maybe want to sit there and be a part of that, right? I don't want to say all mobile because that lumps tablets in, but when particularly smartphones is high volume chunk learning, right? What am I teaching in policy of information? How do I make that fun and interactive? I'm not going to teach somebody how to build an engine on a mobile device or, how to do surgery. Like we don't want to train a doctor that way or a pilot how to do a crash landing, right? That's not the place to do it. But maybe on the mobile device for a pilot, you could go over policies and procedures, right? And have them be assessed and tested and give them a nice visual way to interact with that content. I have a lot of bias, obviously, from what our platform does, but I believe in short burst games. I think people have fun. They're going to play them just like they would Angry Birds or Candy Crush for a short period of time. Get really immersed in it and get out. And if you can do that, with different templates and different interactions with different content, you're going to, you do that probably, 6 to 12 times a year on the mobile device, your concerns are less. If you're going to run constantly 365 days a year, you probably need a complete content management strategy and you need to break everything apart into really, really small chunks for that learner.
There's people probably like myself and like you who we have a high curiosity desire to learn new things. We learn new things every day. But then I also know when I have to be absolutely head down. Don't tell me anything else. I need to get this done right now. So it is a different approach that it's at your fingertips all the time. Talk with me about what should or should not, as far as, like you said, brain surgery or landing a plane. I mean, I know that that's extreme, but maybe not, maybe not. But I think about, because I come from just the traditional instructor-led training. That's my background. That's what I had done for a good part of my career. And then, of course, have evolved as the industry's evolved. And yet I still know when I have learners in front of me, I hear repeatedly that this is how I learn. I can use the other as a reinforcement. I can use it when I have a quick question out there on the job, but I really need face-to-face contact with an instructor to make sure I understand it. And I know it's changing. I know that that's changing even as the demographic changes with the workforce and the 2020 workforce. But what do you think about, like, let's just give an example. Do you think that a company can totally onboard? I worked with a company, they used to do a 40-hour onboarding program that they took to completely mobile devices, which was in the form of a tablet. Mm-hmm. I don't have a negative or a positive on it. It just is what it is. What are your thoughts about the ability to do that with mobile learning?
It depends on the role of the individual at first, right? I think there are certain jobs that you need to bring that person into the classroom and just teach them certain basic principles about the business, depending on the seniority of the individual, certain policies and procedures I think that you'd want to take them through. But, what I would suggest, if you think about new hire orientation, the company history, the org chart, policies and procedures at a very high level, et cetera, those type of things could easily be on a mobile device and could be self-select learning and almost before you got to class, right? Mm-hmm. So if I were to think about your new hire orientation, I would say that there are pieces of the puzzle that you could put on a mobile device and say, here, this is your pre-coursework, right? You're going to learn about the company history. You're going to learn about the current corporate officers and structure. You may learn about what our health benefits, all the things you have almost in the recruiting package that you reinforce when you have the new hire orientation, you would do there. Now, if there are special skill sets required to do their job, You may want to bring those in the classroom or bring those into a combination of classroom and mobile learning or, you know, a blended learning style right there, right? So if I have systems I have to use and I have to put a support ticket in one certain way and it has to roll through the system, even if I've been a customer service rep at 20 different companies, the system could be unique at that individual company. And that may require some performance or on-prem type of training. But you really can take those things which are mundane and you put in a fire hose anyway. Right. So anything you line up in a fire hose to shoot at somebody belongs somewhere else. And that's how I look at this is if you're lining up and you're firing without, you know, the chance, you should be spending your new hire orientation time on those immersive skills that you want the person to have to make them productive and accretive to the organization as fast as possible. Not the ones that are the basic block and tackle stuff that they need to have. They should have had it. Some of the stuff they should have before they ever made the decision to come work there. But that basic, the stuff you fire hose people, get it into other platforms. Let them do it at home. Let them do it before they get there. Don't be so afraid of, you know, that basic level new hire orientation stuff that isn't proprietary. And I think that's a good example of someplace where you can combine both mobile and a classroom style learning environment together. And I also think the second thing to consider, not in just new hire orientation, is the role of people, right? I mean. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you interact with a learner, and if I were to interact with somebody who spends majority of their time in office, who, you know, spends a lot of time, unfortunately, probably in way too many meetings than they should be in, right? But they're highly, by nature, they're immersive anyway. They have time. They're not being forced to go out and try to maximize their time when they're not in a car or going to a hotel. And if you think about, like, salespeople who are remote or in the field, if you think about those pre-sales people, if you think about, like, in the flight business, the airline business we were just talking about, think about a flight attendant or a pilot, right? They get... Mm-hmm. They're on a plane for how many hours a day? They're off the plane. They go to the hotel. I mean, there's so many things you can do in that other time, you know, to fill them with training besides bringing them back in and, you know, occupying their only free time when they're not on a plane with those types of training. So, you know, it's as much about role and content. And then those two things play really well together in what belongs in mobile and what doesn't and what should be a complementary program to still be immersive.
That's good. Help me with this then. We have this information and again, pilots may or may not be the example to use. I have these results that I need. I need a behavior either changed, not because it's negative, perhaps it just needs to be updated. We've changed our process. We've eliminated this step over here, and we've added this other dimension that wasn't there before. So I need a behavior change of some sort. Am I going to be able to achieve that? Is mobile going to be able to help me to drive those real-time results and actually change behaviors?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, again, it all depends what the behavior looking to change. If it's related to a policy and procedure, right?
Yeah.
Then easily, because you can reinforce mobile, assess what they do and don't know via a quick, you know, assessment tool. See the gaps in knowledge, and then, you know, if there is any, reinforce with that on-site supervisor, whoever may handle that next level of reinforced training. If it's a new landing procedure or a new evacuation procedure on the plane, I'm not sure that you want to tackle that in that fashion.
Right.
May want to enforce it, right? You know, I'll give you an example. The one that I would say would be kind of intriguing is that if you said to me that you were going to train them on a landing procedure and that landing procedure hadn't changed, but you want to do a refresher, you could use mobile as the refresher without having to bring them back in to see how much they retain. So, you know, we've had conversations with companies about their field technicians. Now, it's not that the field technician is going to learn how to fix this machine the first time. But what will happen is those machines that are newer may not break as often. So the field technician may go from having, you know, one machine that they had to know to now 150 machines they have to know. And some machines they'll see all the time because they're older and they break. And some of the new ones they won't. But they're trained on them. They're certified, right? I've passed the test. I've gotten my certification. I'm not capable of fixing this. Of course, if I don't see it regularly, there's no way for me to keep my skill set so fresh, right? So instead of bringing them back in and having them reboil the ocean, you could create a quick visual-based game where they had to pick and choose the right examples or techniques and answer the questions correctly to make sure their skills were staying refreshed without having to actually touch the machine itself, right? It's called like a virtual at-bats without being immersive, right? It's kind of like, I'm not going to do a simulation of this broken machine, but I'm going to ask you 10 or 15 questions that are related to that machine that only apply to this how to fix it. And I'm going to do that in your mobile device. You don't have to come in to get reinforced. And as long as you get this passing grade on this assessment, I'm going to allow you to stay in the field without having to come back in, which, of course, keeps my cost down low and keeps them fresh at-bats on that particular material.
That's good. I can also see the application for that. I design for oil companies who like regular maintenance or safety training for the rigs out there on the rigs in the middle of the ocean. And that would be a fantastic application of just keeping things fresh, making sure that, I mean, not a matter of if this piece of equipment is going to go down, it is a matter of when. So they have to be ready to handle it in case something happens and to make sure they are doing the proper maintenance on it and meeting all the API and all those different regulations. So that would be a fantastic way to use that. I love it. Very good.
Think about how cost-effective that is, right?
Yeah.
Fly the person in or take them off the line, right? You know,
yeah.
And companies, whether it's in or any company, the one thing they don't want to do is take the person off the line. And that's a lot of what mobile or short iterative training can do is it can keep the person on the floor, for lack of a better way of putting, letting them do it at a self-paced without having to go back in the classroom or get to the desktop and do it in short bursts. That gives them, you know, that gives them control. Plus it keeps the corporate profits up, which is, you know, I know what every corporation is searching to do.
Right. When you look at the mobile capability, if that's the right word to use, a lot of the LMSs out there, they don't really have the ability to track the mobile side, do they?
Well, I mean, they can do mobile web, and that goes back to my, you know, my belief that mobile web is not a place where we should be doing training unless, you know, we have a heavy tablet strategy. Even then, I would say if you can get away with doing it native, it's better experience for the end user and what they like anyway. So it's the mobile app that really causes the problem for the mobile LMSs of the world. I mean, they're really compliance management systems when it comes to learning more than they are learning management systems. And so since they track the user from the launch point, that's what they're doing. I mean, if you think about LMS, what they're really capturing is, I want to push this person piece of learning to this individual for them to take it. I want to track when they take it. I want to track their score and track when they completed it, right? And that's what an LMS is generally concerned with. There are some other newer age LMSs that capture more. So, you know, you have to say, if I'm going to go mobile, you know, what do I want the LMS to know? And so the LMS can still be a part of the process here, but what it can't do is be the launch point. It can be the, hey, these are the users who I want to give the list to of this mobile training. And I want to know back of these users, what score did they get? When did they take the test and did they complete it? Right? On the assessments, right? That's what mobile can be in LMS is. But mobile also opens up a lot of other opportunities for tracking and measuring that your LMS isn't going to be as intrigued with from a standpoint of mobile web, right? So you can do some different things inside of a mobile device you want to do. It allows you to capture more data because you're not burdened by that LMS, right? So if you're not burdened by the LMS of data capture and the limitations sometimes that come with the knowledge, you know, capturing true knowledge, you can take advantage of mobile and create, you know, whether you have your own data warehouse or look for providers who provide it for you, where they start to capture not only the rights and the wrong of information, right? Not just the final score, not just one test, and allow you to see that in real time because most mobile devices are not going to store that piece of content on that local device, right? So because you're not storing it locally, you have to transfer the information. That transfer occurs essentially in real time, and it really opens up the opportunity to have a conversation about predictive analytics and performance in real time, not in lags based upon tests and results, and not just based on final score, but based upon where I can see knowledge gaps in user behavior and the information. So while LMSs have a limitation, in my opinion, it kind of opens up an opportunity for corporations or any learning organization to say, I want to use mobile to really understand very quickly knowledge gaps. And where that doubles up in value to me is when companies are running time-based sales campaigns or promotional campaigns, where they have a known, they're running a six-month promotion to sunset a piece of software, right? And what often companies will do is they'll build training and they'll put it in a black box, I call it, right? So I build all these wonderful PowerPoint decks, maybe web-based training, all these other things, and I make it available to everybody. But by the time I get the results and I can see underneath where everyone's got me wrong, I'm already looking at my first quarter's results.
Right.
Now I may be a quarter behind in my sales number. Now what do I do, right? Versus if I use mobile as a vehicle to do that, I can start to look at those knowledge gaps rather quickly if I use the right type of design and right partner, and I can see where my problems are, and I can do those changes in a week or a month, which allows me to stay ahead of the curve. So there's lots of things you can do within mobile tracking and behavior. Just again, LMSs are, I'm sure they'll catch up one day, but right now that's a current limitation we see with a lot of our clients.
Yeah. I know my emphasis is in the area of talent development. So I'm in with HR and always assessing, is this a training need or a process need? Is it just that the process needs to be brought up to speed? Everyone knows exactly how to do this. Training isn't going to change it. So with M-Level, besides mobile learning? Are you using MLevel in other applications like supply chain or, for example, in healthcare? This doctor is prescribing this medicine to this patient, and it can all interface so that the nurse then has it in real time. Is MLevel being used in that way? Give me some examples of how industries are using MLevel.
Sure. So, you know, we started it. I'll give you a couple, two of which will be mobile, and then one of which I'll talk about, which actually turned out to be non-mobile for us. So, you know, we built the platform mobile first because we look at the future and see all the devices and continued proliferation of, devices everywhere across the globe. But we, through one of our good customers, they asked us if we built a web version of the application as well, and we started interacting with call centers. Call centers for us are an interesting place because we're talking about a group of people that have their passion for learning is different than yours and ours. It's mm-hmm. not that they don't want to learn. They just never sometimes weren't given the skills or opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. And so they have to learn. They learn great in short bursts, right? And also in call centers, it's the same place where we talk about, floor time, right? Nobody in the call center operations team wants anybody ever off the phone.
Right.
So, for us, we've had a great impact there in short burst learning, delivering real-time results, allowing companies who outsource their call center operations to see things across the globe rather quickly without having to travel and make changes. And so we've seen major impact there, in people who are using our tool and using MLevel. The other two examples I'll talk about are purely mobile. In the channel, we've begun to work with our customers in the channel exponentially in mobile, right? So if you think about a company who may be an OEM provider, they have the obligation of not only training their sales force, which is kind of a controlled network, but then they have their external network, which is their larger sales force, or the channel, they call it. Mm-hmm. And channel means that I'm probably selling more than one product. That if I'm selling an OEM, whether it's a Microsoft OEM, an HP, or a Salesforce, whoever that company is, right, insert company name here, IBM, I'm likely competing for the sales rep's attention, right? And if you think about that downstream effect, we've been able to deliver those OEMs partners training to the individual end user. So the end users who are there are the sales reps for that particular channel partner. And being able to create data about that sales rep's performance that we can then turn and give back to the company who employs that salesperson, and then in turn give it to the OEM so they can see at a macro level what people do and don't understand about their products and their offerings rather quickly. It's changed the impact of what I talk about the learning organization, how the training organizations are thinking about engaging that learner, right? So they're like, okay, now that I can see things, now that I have a way to control almost the training that they're getting and see the results that they're coming back with and giving it into in a way that's short burst for a salesperson who are competing for their attention on their mobile device, whether they're carrying an Android device, an iPhone, or whatever flavor of the month they're carrying in their pocket. I can engage them where they are. They can take quick bursts of information learning, which feeds their ADD DNA anyway. And now I can get back the information and quickly take action against it. So, again, that's a place we're seeing in our product line a tremendous amount of growth against there. And then finally, just, in thinking about a retail sales or even field sales personnel in general, if you're carrying your device around and you're about to go to a meeting, right, we make the assumption that not every person knows everything about our products, but sometimes our sales rep just needs a refresher. They need to see quickly, a reminder of what the product's got all about. I'm about to meet with a customer. Maybe I need to practice overcoming my objections. Well, if I haven't done that rehearsal at home or had a busy schedule, I might drop down to my device and very quickly, look down at my device and go through my flashcards or play a quick game or just get more familiar with that that piece of content. So when I go meet with that customer, I have that fresh headset, that fresh set of eyes, and I'm pretty excited about it. So those are a couple, three different examples.
Yeah, that's all good. Very good. Yeah, I love that last one too, because even I do a lot of speaking, and that's just one of those things I learned early on that if I'm going to be, like this week I have a client that I'm delivering 3 days of leadership development for them. So I know I got to put a lot of stuff in before I start giving it out, because you kind of like run out. But whenever I put fresh information in, it's like a catalyst that pulls up other things and it melds together. So that's really valuable for the people who are out there needing just that quick, I just need to touch on this, and then things start clicking for them. I'm loving it. Really, Jordan, this is good.
You brought something up, which I probably, So mobile actually has a place in instructor-led training, and it's different than in the classroom. So everybody sends everybody home at night, right?
Uh-huh.
Especially if I'm bringing, you know, manager classes in, leadership classes in, I send everybody home, right? Or maybe I give them a survey at the end of every day. But if you start to incorporate mobile into your learning, your instructor-led classroom experience, what you can do is at the end of every day, you can launch a mobile assessment. And that assessment could be, you know, in any way, form, game, whatever, quiz, whatever it may be, and encourage them to compete with each other over milk and cookies, as I always like to say in the corporate landscape at night. You know, when they head off into their sons, you know, head off for their 4-hour break or whatever they're going to do before they go crash the night before they come back to class. Well, not only will they get secondary at bats at the content you just covered in your class, right, and be measured against it and probably get 4 to 8 at bats at that content, you as the instructor pick up something that's pretty unique. If you're running a real-time analytics engine with that, you can actually see the knowledge gaps, maybe preview it in tomorrow's work, maybe look at the past, and then you can start your next day hitting the areas where they had weaknesses, right?
Right.
So thinking about changing that smile survey at the end to actual analytics instead of just the smile survey is something where I always tell people that mobile can play in traditional learning. You just have to think about where the value is for you as an organization and not think in black and white. It's kind of like a little bit of gray always gets us a little further.
I love it because at the same time, what I do know about instructor-led training, like a classroom setting that I'm doing, there will be individuals in my class this week from all over the globe. And so sometimes learning styles are different, personalities are different, cultures are definitely different. And if they have the opportunity to continue that learning in a more, I'll call it small group setting, over milk and cookies later on, you know that things will be discussed that they did not bring up in the classroom setting. And imagine, again, with the real-time analytics, how much more impactful the learning can actually be. Because as the instructor, I can see, oh, man, I thought I was crystal clear on that, and evidently it was clear as mud because that didn't transfer at all. Or, wow, great. That is something that I know I was getting pushback on at the beginning, and I can see now that they're getting it. They're like that. You can see the light bulbs going off. That would be really powerful. Really good. All right. Well, we're out of time, as always. Look down below. Connect with Jordan. Go out there and take a look. Also, they put out really interesting information on Twitter. So you might want to go follow M Level Learning on Twitter. The website is mlevel.com. Any last thing, Jordan, as we wrap up?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, remember, mobile's an opportunity to be different. Don't try and be the same. Think outside the box, for lack of a better way of putting it. You have this opportunity to reach somebody where they are in a way that they want to be reached. Let's not bypass. Let's not be stuck on repurposing our old content or be afraid of taking chances and trying new things because, you know, mobile's moving fast. The end users, the 2020 generation is coming in, and their expectations are that we, as the legacy of what's going to be driving the future, are paying attention to what's going on. And I think that this is just an opportunity we should all be taking advantage of. So I appreciate the time, Monica. Hopefully everybody enjoyed our chat, and look forward to connecting again soon.
Thanks, Jordan. So go ahead and connect with me if you haven't already. Take a look out at the website, monicacornetti.com. Go ahead and go to the gamification page. You'll see that with Sententia, we are rolling out a new certification for talent development professionals in gamification, and we're starting it in February. So monicacornetti.com/gamification. And again, Jordan, thanks, and we'll see you next week, everyone. Thanks so much.